This story, well, anyway, good. Good to see all of you. This is one of my favorite stories in Scripture because it so displays the gospel. I mean, chapter 3 sort of communicates the gospel and makes clear what the gospel is all about. And when Jesus begins, actually in the last part of chapter 2, when Jesus said that he didn't, even though people believed in him because of the things he was doing, he didn't commit himself to them because he knew what was in everybody. He said he didn't have to have anybody teach him what was in humanity because he knew, because he had clothed himself in our humanity and was tempted in every way like unto us. And so he knew, what he knew about humanity is that our condition was so fallen that there's nothing we could do about our lostness. I don't mean just about getting forgiven, going to heaven one day, but about changing the very structure of our being, changing who we were, not just forgiving what we've done, but transforming who we had become. And so chapter 3 is that cool stuff about being born from above. But when you get to chapter 4, there's just this amazing display of the heart of God and what he's after and who he's after. So you have Jesus, the story about Jesus and his disciples, they're baptizing the same time John the Baptist is in a different area. But people are stopping going to John the Baptist and they're going to Jesus. And so his disciples are now baptizing a lot more than John's. And it says in verse 1 of this chapter that Bracken just read that when Jesus got the news that that was happening, he realized that all the press was going to come to him. And it wasn't time for that. And so he left. But he didn't just leave to get away from them. I mean, here's the thing that's cool about the Lord, because I can't, but he can do more than one thing at a time and do it well. You ever notice that? You ever notice that you can be like at my house flooded yesterday. So I turned the washing machine on and then left. And then I get a call from Michael Berry later and said, hey, Gloria's called me up and there's like a couple inches of water in your hall, in your den. So we had to call ServPro. There are all these loud things in my house now. Hopefully it'll dry it all out so we don't have to have new floors and new walls. And that can seem like this is the only thing going on right now in my life. But it was so fun just hearing the Lord because it didn't stop anything. Like, he's got all these other stuff going on, you know? And it's not my house, right? It was not my money, so I don't have any worries. But it's noisy. But Jesus is doing all the cool stuff in the midst of all that. So he leaves, he goes, whether he knows what he's going to do exactly, where he's headed to do, because he's walking out in his humanity. But he goes to Sychar. He knows that's where he's supposed to go. And he shows up at this well at noon, Jacob's well. Now think about Jacob's well again. Jacob's well, this place, which is Shechem in the Old Testament. This is the place where Abraham comes out and finally lands into Canaan for the first time. This is where he set up the altar to God. And he heard God reveal the covenant to him, the promise of the Messiah. And so he built an altar there. This is the same place Jacob later built an altar after he left Laban with his family. This is where a land that Jacob bought. And Jacob bought this land and gave it to his son Joseph, the one that he thought for 13 years had died. And the grief that he experienced having lost this son, and then the joy that was restored. And that's such thing like the heart of our Father. Jesus has come to reveal the truth about the Father. That's who he is. And so he gives this land to Joseph. And so this well is like really famous. It's called Jacob's Well. And that's why when the woman is talking to Jesus, I'll just read this. No, it'll take longer if I do that. So you trust me with the story. So when Jesus sees this woman coming, he sits by the well, sends the disciples off to get some food. He's sitting by the well and he can see this woman coming. That's the language from a distance. And she's coming towards him. And whether he knew beforehand, he knows now this was the deal. This is what he was there for. He left everything. He left the crowd. Think about that. Left the crowd. And this was a time in his life when he was popular. It wasn't for very long, but he was very popular. And so everybody was coming to him and his ministry. And yet he walks away from all that just to show up at this one little place in Sychar in Samaria where Jews weren't supposed to go. And yet he's there. He's breaking all the rules because there's only one rule to our God, and that is humanity. and his desire to heal fallen and broken humanity. That's the thirsting heart of God. That's when Jesus said, I thirst, God was saying. And so he's there, and this woman comes, and so he has nothing to get any water from. And he said he's there because he stops because he's weary, our humanity. He's clothed in humanity. He knows what it means to be tired. And he's there by the well. He's got nothing to get water with. And so this woman comes to get water, and he asked her to give him a drink. And she's stunned because she's a woman. A Jewish man shouldn't be talking to a woman, much less a Samaritan woman, much less of all women, this woman, because her life was an absolute wreck, absolute mess. And in the eyes of religion, which is where she was living in the environment of, she was nothing but a reject, a castaway, a bent can. And yet that's exactly what God was after. That's exactly what God went out of the way. You know, the Son of God went in pursuit of. And so she says, ask him, what are you doing? Asking me for water since I'm a Samaritan woman? And he said, if you knew the gift I was offering you, you would ask me to give you water. And she said, well, where are you going to get this water? You got nothing to draw from. And so he's actually asking to drink from her cup, which is, again, stunning, which is what Jesus did, right? When he clothed himself in your humanity, he came to drink from our cup, to share in our brokenness, to turn us back to God, to restore us to what God created us to be. And so nothing more awesome than to be around broken people, because all people are broken if you're a believer, because you get to be the one that says, I can offer you water, and it's a free gift. That if you'll drink from this water, everything that you've thirsted after that's gotten you in this situation, you'll never thirst again. That's what he told her. And when he told her that, she said, who are you? I mean, are you greater than Jacob? This is his well. And Jesus is saying, not only am I greater than Jacob, but you're greater. Because this well was famous and known by all these people. But let me tell you this. I had to look up the stuff about Jacob's well, all the history. But I'd known all my Christian life about the woman at the well. She became the most important person ever in Scripture connected to this well. This woman who, when Jesus is offering her water, that'll cause, he said, if you drink this water, you're going to keep thirsting. He was basically saying, you keep marrying people, you keep doing what you're doing, you think somehow it's going to satisfy those things in your heart, the need for affirmation, affection, you know, for significance and all that kind of stuff. He said, you're going to keep coming up thirsty because there's only one. Nobody can complete you. No thing can complete you. No set of looks, no money, no position, no posture can complete you. And he said, but if you drink the water I give you. And so Jesus said to her, why don't you go get your husband? And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And she didn't say, well, you know, I'm a mess. I've been married 5 times. Jesus said, you know, you've spoken well. You don't have a husband. Because you've been married to 5 husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband at all. And she says, you must be a prophet. Well, in the end, the story is she drank from the well that is Jesus, and her life was transformed forever. And he said, this is going to be a well of water that's going to spring up in you. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to make it happen. It's just going to spring up, and it's going to cause you to never thirst again. That just blows my doors. But one of the things I've seen in the past is, like, we've talked about this a little bit, like, why? When Jesus first asked her, like, go get your husband, why didn't she just tell him the whole truth? Because I think, one, she was afraid that if she told the whole truth, whatever it was he was offering her, she wouldn't deserve it. It wouldn't be for her. But she didn't hear him originally say, I have this gift. If you knew the gift I have you, it's a gift. It's not got anything what you do can do or deserve. That's a cool part, right? But I tell you the part I like even better. Why did Jesus ask her the question? I mean, why even go there, you know? That's not something she'd be really proud of. But he says, he asked her the question, go get your husband. Or he tells her, go get your husband. Because he knew. Because he wanted her to say the truth. Well, she wouldn't. That's like us a lot of times, right? Because we're afraid God's going to reject us. We try to hide the truth. We try to pretend. We fake it off. And then Jesus says, or God goes, here's the truth. And I want you to know that you're just the person that qualifies for their thirst to be quenched forever. I wanted you to know that I know everything about you, the whole yucky, ugly, awful story. And the gift is for somebody just like you. That I can take that story, How many years did it take to accumulate that story? You know, it takes a while to marry five different people. And then they'll be living with someone. I don't know how many years they were married between each one, but it probably was a little while. And Jesus is saying, I can undo that whole story.
Wow.
In one moment. It was your desperate, unquenchable thirst for affirmation, affection, significance, all those things that got you here. But I can quench that thirst in a moment, and you'll never thirst again. I will so complete you that you'll be a source of water for others instead of having to always look to drink a deep drink from somebody else and their behavior to get your thirst quenched. And God used her to spark a revival. History tells us she was a remarkable woman the rest of her life. Jesus wanted her to tell the truth about who she was because, you see, that's a truth. But Jesus is the truth, and it's the truth that sets us free. That may be truth about your story, but if you'll drink from me, I'll become the truth about you, and you'll never thirst again. I think I told this the other day when I was going to the emergency room on Friday, and somebody had felt led, trying to encourage me to get help, to remind me of somebody recently who had to have their leg cut off because it started off with the same kind of thing. I'm thinking, I would have done better if you had told me that story, right? I mean, there's just some information you don't need from friends, Christians. And so I'm on the way to the ER, and I'm thinking, I don't want to lose my legs, Lord. And I was even thinking, like, Lord, I guess if it got so bad that they said, if we don't take off your legs, you're going to die, I think I'd probably say, go ahead and take my life because I'll be home with the Lord and, you know, and all this stuff. And see all the people that I miss and see Livia. And I said, Lord, I don't want to lose my legs. And he said to me, they're not your legs. And I said, oh, yeah, they're not my legs. He said, it's not your life. And he said, maybe, what if that happened to you? Maybe there are people out there who've lost a lot more than legs that need to know you can still live a life where you never thirst because your deepest heart needs are totally satisfied with Jesus. Wow. See, what happens when you start thinking things like that, it sets you free from the whole even nonsense in our culture. It says if you get older, life just isn't as good. It's this, and because you can't do as much, and so you lose your independence, and it makes you so depressed. Nonsense. Jesus is the truth about my moment, my story, my life, and that's freedom. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.